Hey there, and welcome to the One Church podcast. This message was recorded live at one of our services. If you'd like to know more about life at One Church, visit us online at weareone.church or check us out on social media.
It's great to see you. My name's Lisa. I'm the pastor of One Church Podsmead alongside my lovely husband, Liam. Today, we're going to be encountering Jesus at the Last Supper. We're going to encounter Jesus at the Last Supper. So I'm going to read to us today this story from Luke 22, from verse 7, and you can join along with me. It says this: "Then came the day of unleavened bread on which the Passover lamb had to be sacrificed. Jesus sent Peter and John, saying, 'Go and make preparations for us to eat the Passover.' 'Where do you want us to prepare for it?' they asked. He replied, 'As you enter the city, a man carrying a jar of water will meet you. Follow him to the house that he enters and say to the owner of the house, "The teacher asks, "Where's the guest room where I may eat the Passover with my disciples?" He will show you a large room upstairs, all furnished, and make preparations there.' They left and found things just as Jesus had told them, so they prepared the Passover. When the hour came, Jesus and his apostles reclined at the table, and he said to them, 'I have eagerly desired to eat this Passover with you before I suffer. For I tell you, I will not eat again until it finds fulfillment in the kingdom of God.' After taking the cup, he gave thanks and said, 'Take this and divide it among you. For I tell you, I will not drink again from the fruit of the vine until the kingdom of God comes.' And he took bread and gave thanks and broke it and gave it to them, saying, 'This is my body given for you. Do this in remembrance of me.' In the same way, after the supper, he took the cup, saying, 'This cup is the new covenant in my blood, which is poured out for you. But the hand of him who is going to betray me is with mine at the table.'" Jesus, I pray that as we read your word together today and unpack it, that you would just bring about revelation in this room of just how much you love us. You know, Jesus was at this table and he was having a meal with his friends. He was taking part in an ancient meal, actually, that started decades and decades and decades before this moment that we read about. And this ancient meal was called Passover. And this was about this moment in their history where the people of God were in captivity. And God passed over their place of captivity to deal with what kept them captive so that they could leave free. For this to happen, for this to take place on the first ever Passover, God had given them instructions to prepare a sacrificial lamb. And they had to place the blood on the doorposts of their homes so that when the judgment of God passed over their homes, it left them free. That the judgment of God was going to pass over everyone, but the homes that had prepared a sacrificial lamb, those homes were going to be free so that they could walk out of their place of captivity free. That's the history lesson tick. Are we ready? What do you like to do with your friends? Maybe you like to play sports with your friends. What do you guys like to do with your friends? Do you like to play with your friends and go shopping with your friends? Yeah, I like to do that. Maybe you like to do sports with your friends. Maybe you like to do like games night with friends. Any games night people in the room here? Yeah, a few people. Any other suggestions of what you like to do with your friends? I don't know. Maybe I don't want to know. But my all-time favorite thing to do with friends is to have a meal. There is nothing better than just sat reclining at the table and there's laughing taking place. People are sharing stories. You're eating good food. Well, I hope you're eating good food. There is nothing better than that for me. And I think it spans back to growing up as a kid. I loved dinner time. 5 p.m. was always dinner time. I can smell, like we'd walk into the kitchen and we walk into the dining room and be like, oh, it smells so good, where my mum has lovingly prepared like a stretchy meal. And anybody know what I'm talking about? Like, we've got to make this go. Stretchy meal. But it always smelled absolutely amazing. And my dad would be whistling because he was pleased he was home from work. And he just likes to make noise for no reason all the time. And he'd be, yeah, there you go. I laid him up there, didn't I? And we'd gather around the table and he'd have us all there talking about what we did at school that day. And he invented a game called Spin the Knife. I wouldn't recommend it. But he'd be spinning the knife and whoever the knife pointed at, you had to tell a story of the day or something along those lines. Sometimes it got a little out of hand where it flew off everywhere, but we'll not talk about that. And I can remember the sound of our squeaky dining room table. You know, like it was a hand-me-down table. And there was like there's this certain squeak. I can hear it now as we were all sat around the table. But the table, our table, was one of those tables that was always full of people. So there'd be our family and there would always be somebody else around our table. It was one of those tables where anyone could turn up and anything could happen. It was just one of those tables. I remember coming home one day and there would just be like a house full of people that were like, well, they're here for dinner today. Sometimes it was like visiting speakers or missionaries. Sometimes it was homeless people. Sometimes it was just, well, most of the time it was a load of young people that just rocked up at our house after school. And I loved our full table. I remember one guy, he would come to our house and like we were taught to have good table manners at home and stuff. And one guy, he would come to his house and every single time, like we were taught not to play with our food. Anybody else with me? Okay. But he would come and before he ate his meal, he would always make pictures out of whatever had been put on his plate. Like maybe a face. If it was cottage pie, it would be like a farm scene. He'd turn it into a field. It was just this thing that he did. I remember my friend coming to dinner for the first time and she had some salt and she was quite superstitious and she threw salt over her shoulder. And I remember us all just like stopping and looking at her and going, what are you doing? And she's like, well, I'm warding off the devil. And I remember my mum just like really kindly leaning over the table and going, oh, darling, you don't need to do that. Let me tell you, Jesus has already warned off the devil. Like it was, I'll never forget that moment. It was just a brilliant table full of amazing things happening. Strange people. Weird people, fun people, miserable people, all made it to the table. And I loved our table growing up, and I loved the stories of breakthrough that would happen as well. I remember being a kid, and this is why I love the fact that kids are in the room right now, because they might look a bit distracted, but they are hearing all the words that we are speaking. They're watching you lean into the word of God right now. They're watching you lean into what God is going to minister to you right now. It's amazing. I remember leaning in and hearing stories of breakthrough. Of today, somebody got healed in the street. Today, this missionary had done so many things with these kids in Africa and getting them into schools and stuff. I remember leaning in to these moments. It was a table where anyone could turn up and anything could happen. And I imagine this table that Jesus was sat around with his friends having this Passover meal, I imagine it being really similar. I imagine them talking and laughing and recounting the stories of the day where miracles had probably taken place. And I can imagine like Peter going, oh yeah, that man really did carry a jar of water on his head. And he did tell us that this is the right room. I can imagine them telling stories and laughing. I can imagine some people like the clatter. Can you hear the clatter of the cutlery laying the table and the smell of freshly baked bread? Oh, is there anything better? I mean, I'm gluten-free, it's a nightmare. The smell of freshly baked bread and lamb cooking. That's a great smell, isn't it? Can you imagine Jesus being there with the disciples of all these things are happening and Jesus like looks at his friends around the table and he sees all his friends sat around the table and all the stories and all those things that are happening. And I can imagine him being a little bit like my mum, who I remember watching her just leaning back at the table and just watching everybody chatting, everybody talking, everybody having this moment together. And I imagine Jesus looking around this table and seeing his friends there. And I can imagine him looking over to Thomas, and Thomas is just having this really in-depth conversation with Peter, because he's like, I'm not sure we've quite got this right. Because you know, Thomas, he had reserved for himself a whole load of doubts. He was like, I'm not sure about this. I'm trying to figure it out, and I'm not sure. And he's having a chat with Peter, who's sat next to him, and Peter's trying to encourage him. And Peter is full of bravado. He's like, yes, Jesus. And Jesus is talking about washing the disciples' feet, and he says to Jesus, well, wash me all over then, Jesus. And he misses the point entirely, because he's actually got this bravado that's covering up a whole load of fears and insecurity. And that's what Peter had reserved for him at the table, was a bunch of fear and insecurity. And I know that Jesus will have known that as he's watching them. And then just as he's watching over this way, a fight breaks out on the other side of the table, because over on the other side of the table are the sons of thunder, and they want a piece of the pie all the time. They're like twins that argue all the time about who was first to be born, you know? That's what they're like. And they're sat down the other, and they're saying, hey, Jesus, like who gets to be the greatest? I mean, what a silly thing to say to the creator of the universe. Do you know what I mean? Like, not you. And they're sat down and they're having this argument, and reserved for them at the table was their ego. Because they're just like, I want to be important. I want to be important. And that's happening at the other end of the table. And I can imagine Jesus just smiling away and just enjoying this meal with his friends. And then just next to him on the other side, it's Judas. And Judas, he's the man that's about to betray Jesus. He's the man that has said, I'll bring him to you for 20 pieces of silver. Jesus just lovingly prepares a meal for him, though. Lovingly invites all of them to the table, even the seat that's reserved for betrayal. The table full of people with all their stuff. And Jesus, I imagine him just smiling in this moment. You see, Jesus's table is a lot like my parents' table. It's a table where anyone can turn up and anything can happen. Actually, it's a table where anyone can turn up and something will happen. Because, you know, in this moment, Jesus, he takes this bread. It says in these verses, he takes the bread and he breaks it. And what does that mean? Well, the bread, when he broke it, was symbolizing the fact that he was about to become the bread. He was about to be broken for everybody's fullness, for everybody's wholeness. Because, you know, sometimes we have this gap, this vacant part in our life, and we constantly try to fill it with something until we meet Jesus, who is the bread of life, who says, you will never hunger again. You will never hunger again. But he breaks it to symbolize the fact that he is now going to be broken. His body is going to be broken so that we can have wholeness. And he takes that bread and he offers that. And then he takes the wine and he holds the wine up to them. And he says, he gives thanks for it and he blesses it. And he says, this is a cup of freedom. That just like the Passover lamb, I'm going to become the Passover lamb, whose blood is enough to give you freedom from your sins, freedom from your addictions, freedom from all sickness, freedom past, present, and future, freedom for you to walk out of your place of captivity. And I believe that Jesus leans over his table towards us today. And I don't know what your reserved sign looks like. Maybe your reserved sign looks a little like mine. Maybe your reserved sign looks like problems at school, Anybody ever have some problems at school? Sometimes it can be an unkind place to be at school. And Jesus, he lovingly looks over and he offers you a cup of freedom and bread called fullness. And he says, hey, guess what? I've not given you a spirit of fear, but one of power, love, and a sound mind. And he leans over the table to you today to say this. And then maybe there's some of us today and we're sat at the table and our reserved sign is fears of the future. And we're looking at these fears of the future and we're saying, oh gosh, this is so difficult. And we bring them to this table. We bring them to this moment. And Jesus lovingly leans over the table and he offers you the bread and he says, hey, I'm enough for you. I'm the fullness of life that you're looking for. In fact, trust in the Lord with all your heart and lean not on your own understanding, but in all your ways, submit to him and he will make your path straight. He says, look, my body is enough to fulfill you. This is a cup of freedom for you today. He looks over the table and he looks at us and we brought our addiction to the table. He looks at our addiction and it's the thing that we're trying to hide and keep tucked away in our pocket. It's the thing that we don't like other people to see. It's the thing that we don't like to admit. And let me tell you, addiction is more than just taking drugs. Sometimes it's food. And he looks over the table and he sees us. And instead of like adding on more shame to what we already feel, he says, hey, I have a cup of freedom for you. In fact, whom the Son sets free is free indeed. There's a free indeed spoken over your life today. That's what this table represents. And then he looks across and he sees some of us and we're so tired out and done in by life. We're so worn out and we've lost our edge and we don't like, we struggle coming to church and we struggle when those visionary moments when somebody's like, yeah, come on, let's take more for the kingdom of God. And we're like, yeah, but I'm really tired. I don't know if I've got it in me. And Jesus says, hey, my body broken for you. Your emptiness that you feel right now can turn to fullness in me. Come to me, all who are heavy laden, and I will give you rest. And then there's some of us in the room and we've taken our seat at the table and we kind of hate ourselves and we hate the way that we look. We hate the way that we feel. We don't like this about ourselves and we don't like that about ourselves. And Jesus lovingly looks over the table and he says, hey, it's a cup of freedom for you. Don't you know that my word says that I have made you fearfully and wonderfully? Fearfully, kids, it doesn't mean that he's made you to be afraid. It means he was so worried about getting it wrong. He took extra special care in getting it right. He's made you fearfully and wonderfully. That's what he's done. That's what the table means. And some of us, we've just limped our way to the table. We've got sickness in our body. We've got pain in our body. We've got areas that need healing. And he's like, my body was broken for you to experience healing and wholeness. There is healing in this meal. It says, by his stripes, in other words, the punishment, the whipping that he received meant that we could receive healing today. And then still some of us come and sit at the table and we kind of take the same seat as Judas, where we've been holding Jesus at arm's length for not wanting to receive him. We tick boxes with our bodies, but we don't really incline our hearts towards him. We kind of know who he is, but we don't want to accept him for who he is. In other words, we like the picture that people paint when they talk about this loving and gracious Savior, but we don't want to have anything to do with the Lord of your life. And Jesus smiles at you, knowing what you think. And he says, still a cup of freedom for you. Still a cup of freedom for you. Still bread of full life for you. Because while we were still sinners, Christ Jesus died for us. So I ask you today, where's your seat at the table? Because Jesus is looking across at us and he says, this cup is a cup of freedom. This bread is the bread of fullness and wholeness. You see, Jesus's table is where anyone can turn up and anything can happen. I'm going to pray in a second and then the guys are going to lead us in communion. But as this communion comes to us this morning, and as we gather in families, or as we gather in our rows, or as we just take this personally between you and Jesus today, will you remember what it feels like to be sat at the table? Will you close your eyes and imagine Jesus offering this to you, saying, I've got a cup of freedom for you, and I've got a full stomach for you. Because Jesus' table is the most precious table I've ever sat at. That we get to join him in that. Jesus, we love you. We thank you that you welcome us to your table. We thank you that you invite us to take a meal with you, Jesus. One that we didn't have to, it's not a bring and share. But God, it was a place where you said, my body is enough and my blood is enough. That this cup is a cup of freedom, and I speak that freedom over every heart and mind in this room right now. And God, that your body was broken for us so that we could receive wholeness and fullness. And we choose this day to receive that afresh. That we might invite more people to sit at the table and encounter this cup of freedom that you offer us. In Jesus' name, amen.
Amen. Let's just stay in a moment of prayer. If you have your head bowed, eyes closed, what we're going to do now is just quickly give everyone an opportunity to say yes to Jesus in this room, here on this Good Friday, watching online as well. All the wonderful things that Lisa has spoken about, a place for you at the table. If you're here or listening online and you know you're not right with God, today you can make that right and you can accept Jesus into your life as your Lord and Savior. So very simply, I'm going to extend that invitation to everyone in the room and watching online as well. And if you want to say yes to Jesus today, I'm going to pray for you. And after the count of three, if that's you and you need to say yes to him, you need to give him your life, accept him as Lord and Savior, raise your hand after three and then I'll pray. One, two, three. That's wonderful. See that? You can pop it down again. Online, you can do this as well. And I'm going to pray now. Jesus, we thank you for what you did for us on this Good Friday, that you died for us in our place. You said it is finished. And by that, you meant our sin, our wrongdoings, so whoever would believe in you might know forgiveness and salvation and eternal life. And you saw every hand that was raised in that moment. And God, thank you that they are now a child of God, that they've received you as their Lord and Savior. And that I pray, Lord, that they would know your peace and your presence in this moment. In Jesus' name, amen. Amen. Wonderful. We're going to take communion together now. And team, just as I...